Tonight we are going to enjoy a lesson, some preaching tonight on the Holy Spirit. If you'll turn to John chapter 7, that's where our text is, and we are going to hear some things about the Holy Spirit that I hope will be a blessing to you and encouragement to draw closer to Him. He's such a vital and important part of our lives as Christians. And I think sometimes in Bible-believing churches, perhaps the work of the Holy Spirit has been de-emphasized because of what the charismatics did with that, and the Pentecostals, the non-denominationals. We don't want to miss out on what God's got for us with the Holy Spirit just because somebody else has taken the doctrine too far. John chapter 7, verse 37, the Bible says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.'" Well, we certainly know from reading our Bibles that after Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose from the dead, and spent a little time with his disciples and then ascended up into heaven, on Pentecost the Holy Spirit came. And I'm telling you, what a change in the lives of the disciples when the Holy Spirit came. And what a remarkable truth Jesus spoke concerning the work of the Holy Spirit, or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 7. "Out of his belly shall flow rivers," not just a trickle, not a drop, not a glassful, but rivers of living water. And so here in the Bible, Jesus likened the Holy Spirit to water, did he not? And he said, "When he's in you, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." And you know that it's a typology. You know it's a similitude, because I'm looking here and I don't see anybody out of whose belly are flowing, right? Livers. Those two, right? Rivers of living water. Many of you here tonight, if not all of you, have had personal experience with the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you know that He has done some things. Now, the Holy Spirit is an excellent, the water is an excellent metaphor for the Holy Spirit, because when you study the properties of water, then you get a better understanding of the Spirit of God. In other words, some of the things, so he compares the Spirit to water here, some of the things that you know about water will give you insight into some things that you should know and enjoy about the Spirit of God. And one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit is well typified by the similitude to water is that water is a great example of the Trinity. It really is. When you, when water is at the triple point, what's called the triple point of water, that is 0.01 degrees centigrade and 6.1173 millibars of pressure. That really helps you, didn't it? Now you know. But that's the number, okay? 0.01 degrees centigrade, 6.1173 millibars of pressure. Water becomes solid, liquid, and vapor all at the same time. That's a remarkable thing. It is ice, it is water, it is a vapor. Simultaneously, it reaches the triple point. And so, consequently, water is a great description or metaphor for the Trinity, because they are all three there at the same time. Isn't that interesting? Really something. So the Spirit is in all the persons of the Godhead. When Jesus Christ was talking to the woman at the well, he said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, when the angel is explaining to Joseph how Mary will conceive, he said that's going to come by the power of the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost incarnate, and of course the Holy Spirit is Spirit. So all the Spirit is, you know, all three, and all three are a spirit. It's really something. So by studying water, we can learn a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. And the first thing I'd like to say about water and the Spirit of God is that water is essential. You cannot live without water. You can't. You got to have it. Your body is composed of a high percentage of water. I've heard different numbers, but let's just say you have got a lot of water in you. Okay? And one of the ways that you might know that, if you've ever seen the remains of somebody that has been cremated, the ashes, there's not much there anymore. Okay? And so you cannot live without water, and may I tell you something? You cannot have spiritual life apart from the Spirit of God. In John chapter 3, when you are born again by the Spirit, right? And so once you're saved and you've been born again by the Spirit, you and I need to be filled with the Spirit. This vessel here, this body that is standing before you needs to be filled with the Spirit, because our bodies, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He doesn't want just a little place. He wants to fill the whole vessel. And He doesn't want to just fill it to capacity. He wants to fill it to overflowing. Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. And that's what He says. It's not a suggestion. He says, be filled with the Spirit. So, you know, honestly, we have at some point in our lives been spiritually dehydrated, right? So you know when you are filled beyond capacity with the Holy Spirit, and you know, I don't want to use the word feeling, but you know what that's like, and you also know what it's like when you are spiritually dehydrated. You're a prune. And that's kind of what I am, just a shrivel. You're not a grape, you're a raisin, right? You're just all shriveled up spiritually. And far too many Christians these days are spiritually dehydrated. And there's a lot of things that have taken the water of the Spirit out, I think. When Brother Gazaway was here, we were just talking about, you know, kind of what they're seeing going around in churches, what we're experiencing dealing with Christians in our own lives. You know, before Judah went into captivity with the Babylonians, the problem is the politicians, the princes, the prophets, the priests, they were all given over to covetousness. And man, covetousness is just infiltrated. That and distraction, it just really, really keep us in a position where sometimes we're not even conscious of any work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. Now, back in the day when I was in Bible college, I poured concrete in Alabama, and it was an outdoor job. And about the time you get to April till about the time you get to November, it's hot out there. And you're sweating from the time you get started till the time you end. And I can remember Brother Dickman used to go over to his brother's house, Phil's house, And he had these big jugs, like the big gallon jugs that apple cider would come in, that had, you know, that had the handle on them and the bottle, the neck on the bottle. And he would go over there, and Brother Phil had a spring, and he would load up a truck bed full of bottles of fresh spring water, and he'd have those there in the porch. And I mean, about every 30 minutes or 45 minutes, Brother Dickman would say to me, "Brother Welder, you need to tank up. Brother Welder, you need to tank up," meaning get plenty of water. Because you get the idea that when you're working like that and you're so focused that you are not getting dehydrated, and you are. And I can remember coming home and then grabbing my books and going to school. I had three sweat lines: the 10 o'clock watermelon break, the lunch break, and the go home. And I mean, just sweat pouring off. And I don't mean to be disgusting, but you know something? In the spiritual lives you and I live, in a sense, we are sweating spiritually under all that's going on, and you and I need to tank up and stay filled with the Spirit of God. If water is essential to our natural life, the Spirit of God is essential to our spiritual life. And just because you're born again doesn't mean that you are filled with the Spirit of God. That is something that you want to do throughout the day, just like we did with water when we were working concrete. Okay? Another thing about water is it's cleansing. And thankfully, many of us in the last couple of days have showered. And everybody else that's in the room is happy you did that. Water is cleansing. As water cleanses you, so the Holy Spirit washes and sanctifies you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm telling you, this is a deep clean. This is a deep clean. He is not just doing a superficial towel off. He's not doing a, you know, wet rag. He is getting inside and putting the babo to you. Gray hair, I admit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now look in verse 11. "Such were some of you." All right, well, what were they? Verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Those sins are so bad that if a person does those sins, if a person is that kind of sinner, all right, he says, not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Those are, would you agree with me, that's bad? Okay. And he says in verse 11, "And such were some of you." Well, that means they're not that anymore. Whatever they were that was bad enough that they would not be able to inherit the kingdom of God, something happened that changed them, and that's not who they are anymore. What happened? "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by whom? The Spirit of our God." I am so thankful for the cleansing wave, for the cleansing work of the Spirit of God to come in and change who I was to who I am. Aren't you? But you know something? You were not suddenly no longer a sinner, were you? Are you? There's still stuff that comes up. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is still there to wash and to sanctify and to cleanse us in our lives. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." That's somebody in you. You know what he is? He is in your life not only to get you clean, but to keep you clean. And I suppose sometimes what happens in our Christian life, I know it's happened in mine, is you just sin starts coming in there, and you know what it is? It's like your garage. I mean, I haven't been to your garage, but I've been to my garage. Okay, and when we moved from the house on River Oaks to the house on Marseille, I told Ann, I said, what we're going to do is we're going to move in room by room. The idea being whatever doesn't fit doesn't come over with us. And we're going to put up these shelves in the garage, so you're going to be able to park your car in there, and then we're going to have a little place here for that and some shelves here. Whatever we can put in a Tupperware box and put on the shelves, that goes with us. If it doesn't go on the shelf, it doesn't go in the garage. Well, today it doesn't look like that. And you know something? You're probably like me, and maybe I'm like you. I walk through that garage every day. I walk out that garage and I walk back in because there's no room in there for me to park. I have to park out on the driveway. Isn't that funny? You got $10 worth of junk in your garage and a whatever $1,000 vehicle out in the driveway baking in the sun. That never made sense to me. But somehow or another, for the last 40-something years, we've been able to do that successfully. But you know what happens? You know what? I walk through there. And I don't see the stuff. I don't look at it, right? I just go to the truck. And when I get back, tonight when I get back, I'm going to walk through that garage. And probably you're going to look at it now because I've been talking to you about it. And go, man, we ought to clean this up. Same thing happens in our Christian lives. We get used to the gunk that is gathering in there. And we're just kind of not paying attention to it anymore. But the trouble is, the Spirit of God is paying attention to it. He's OCD when it comes to stuff like that. He wants that out of our lives. And you know what happens? We sort of just shut that off. We're sort of like not looking that way. And we get used to living at a level of spirituality that is not equal to the level of spirituality that the Holy Spirit wants us to live. We bring Him down. And He wants to bring us up. He wants to fill that vessel to overflowing. Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Haven't you noticed in your own spiritual life, the cleaner you are, let's say you fasted and prayed, and God's identified some things in your heart that He wants you to kind of deal with, and you dealt with them, and the blood of Jesus Christ was applied, and the Word of God did its job, Spirit did His job, and you come out of there, and you are kind of like walking on cloud nine, right? And you know what happens? The first little sin that creeps back in there, you're jumping on that thing, pleading the blood of Christ, confessing it, getting out of there. Right? I like to walk and pray. I like to walk and pray. And because my head doesn't always go like this, it kind of goes like this, and I'm looking down where I'm going. That's what you're supposed to do when you get older. Look down is where you're going, right? I notice things on the floor. So if I make a decision that I'm going to start picking up, stuffing out of a toy the dog tore and it's over there, kind of under a chair, right, and a ball one of the grandkids left under the sofa. Are you tracking with me? And I'm gonna pick this, and there's a little piece of paper somehow or another that fell off and it's over there. So I'm going along praying like that. I'm like, oh, you know what, that should be there, and I go over here, no, that shouldn't be here like that, and I get that, and I say, I got it all, I go to the trash can and put it. You know what happens when I turn around? I'm going to find something I did not see. You ever been like that? And I got to get that up. And then the next thing you know, you got the dustbuster, and there's all kind of stuff, coming up with that. What is that? When the place is clean, it is real easy to identify something in there that's not clean. And when that place is filthy, it's not very easy to identify what made it filthy because it just looks like junk. And frankly, the Holy Spirit does not want us to live junk lives of spirituality. So He wants to get in there like water is cleansing. He wants to get in there and clean up His temple. I mean, I know it's yours, but it's His. It's your body, but it's His temple. And so let Him clean it up. Go and get in there and just say, okay, if you're like water and you want to give me a good shower from the inside out, let's go to work on it and cooperate with the Holy Spirit to get that done. Amen? Amen. All right, I'll tell you another thing. Water is satisfying, right? Water is essential. Water is cleansing. But water is satisfying. Man, I'm telling you, have you ever where you just got to have a drink of water? I'm, talking about it right now, there are probably three or four people in here like, I wish he would just get over this message. I want a drink of water so bad I could like. Okay, so we'll do like they do in the movies and we'll have an intermission. Is there anybody right now, I've been talking about water and you're just dying of thirst. We can say, okay, there you go, Jeremy. Here you go. I'm going to throw this to you, Olson, and you hand it back. I would not want to hit Shannon with that. Okay, anybody else? That's one going, it's brave. Anybody else? Mark's got his. Okay, Miranda wants one. Let's see. Yeah, you come get yours. Okay, Mia wants one too. So somebody's going to have to come over and get this. Robert, okay, you're going to be the deliverer for me? Okay, that one goes to Miranda. Yeah, go ahead. Knock seven. And that one goes to Mia. All right. Anybody else got to have another one? I mean, I do not want anybody to be parched in here. Lori says, please. Here you go, Robert. Give one to Lori. All right. Everybody else doing good? You know, Noel, some of this water's been up here since we moved into this building. It's no. Okay, guys, you had your chance. All right. There it is. But you know what water is? You know what? The taste of that water on your lips is kind of, oh, thank God he passed that out. It's satisfying. Same way with pouring that concrete, you get hot, you get that water going, and if it's just a little bit cool and tasty spring water, I am telling you, I could just drink the jug. It's so good. So it really does quench the thirst, and there's nothing that comes in a can or a bottle to compare to water when you are really thirsty and you want your thirst quenched. Now, some of you may disagree with me, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm preaching, so go along with me. Water quenches your thirst. And so the Spirit of God satisfies you. Look with me. I realize this is Matthew. I know where we are, but go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. There's a statement here, okay? And when I say I realize that we're in Matthew, so much of this applies to kingdom and Israel and all that. But there's a statement here. And it should be true in our lives as well. Verse 6, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know something? The more you seek the righteousness that was given to you by Jesus Christ when you got saved, the more you yield to the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is in you when you die to yourself and live to Jesus, the more you become a servant of righteousness rather than a servant of sin, the more you like righteousness. There are things today that I do and enjoy I would never have enjoyed when I was living out in the world and living in sin. And there are things that I used to do living out in the world and living in sin that I detest even the thought of today because I'm enjoying righteousness so much better. Aren't you like that? Oh, so good. And so what happens is this. You get a taste of that righteousness that comes with Jesus Christ. You're reading in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, you see the work of the Spirit of God to get you into that righteousness of Christ and get that righteousness of Christ in you. You know what happens? You want more. You want more. It's like, this is so good. This is what I want. When I was a kid, we've talked about this kind of thing before. He talked about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I did not like to eat things that were good for me. Spinach, Brussels sprouts, collard greens. They didn't even bring them in the house. And on and on and on. Who would have ever thought when we were kids to eat kale? Do you know I have a serving of kale every day in a smoothie, which helps. Sometimes when I'm at a restaurant, if they have a spinach and kale salad, I'll eat that for lunch. It's good. I'm not going to go down this road very long. I'm just telling you, there are things that I like now that I didn't like back then, and you too. And they're good for you, right? And the more you get those things that are good for you, the more you want them. I have a funny story, but I'm going to tell you. I don't want to tell you from here because you will not remember the rest of the message if I tell you. So when we're all done with this, maybe out in the foyer, some of you are interested, I'll tell you the funny story about desiring things that are good for you. The problem today is there are a lot of Christians that are thirsting for entertainment, the feeling, the fellowship, which is sweet. But what about the righteousness? What about hungering and thirsting for righteousness? You know what knocked Demas out of working with Paul in the ministry? Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He got a taste for things of the world and lost his taste and appetite for righteousness. It changed him. It absolutely changed him. All right, Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. There are things about Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and the Spirit of God that we don't know as Christians that He wants us to know, but we're going to have to get thirsty for some of that stuff. Psalm 34, verse 8. What does He say? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know why a lot of young people stray away from God? They never got a good taste of that water. And they found something out there in the world that attracted them. When Jeremiah started writing, God told him, you know what the problem is? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They've hewed them out cisterns, and the cisterns they've hewed out don't even hold water. And that's what happens to a lot of Christians. He is satisfying, and if you have not experienced the satisfying, refreshing presence of the Spirit of God in your life, start hungering and thirsting for that. You will be amazed how good He is. Amen. All right, I'll tell you something else about water. Let's see. In some places, it's still free. You get a water bill? Right? You know, we got a water bill here. The bottles that are in there that some of you like to drink and some of you are drinking today, they cost money. But for the most part, you can go somewhere, right? You can go to your neighbor's swimming pool and you can get a Berkey and you can filter out the chlorine and you can drink some water for free. You may need to one day. Water is free. So the Spirit of God is given to you freely. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, look at verse 13. Luke 11:13. You know what happens sometimes? People say, well, I've already been saved and I have the Holy Spirit and I'm not going to get any more of Him than I had when I got saved. But you know, you want Him to get more of you. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. So the Lord says this, and I'm just right in the middle of a context. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Well, okay, you got saved and the Holy Spirit is in you. But didn't the disciples and the apostles in Acts, in the book of Acts, didn't they pray to be filled with the Spirit of God? So in a sense, we could say, even if we're making a spiritual application here, that you can pray and ask the Spirit of God to fill you, and there is, in essence, more of, got it? There's a filling of the Spirit of God that allows you to do things that you can't do when you're not filled with the Spirit. And He says, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Well, it's pretty good to realize then you don't earn Him by your conduct. You don't earn Him by your good works. He is equally available to the worst sinner and the most sanctified saint. And you need Him and you call upon God, He is there to help you. And you'll never receive a better free gift than the Holy Spirit of God after you get saved. We talk about spiritual gifts, right? Sometimes people emphasize the spiritual gift over the giver of the gift. And I think don't worry if you say, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Just get yourself concerned with the Holy Spirit. He knows what it is, and when He wants you to know about it, He'll let you know. You just get with Him. Just get with Him. Look with me at a couple of these occasions we're talking about in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, the apostles have been threatened. They said, hey, you're not going to preach. You are not going to preach in this man's name. Acts chapter 4, verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, and then they began to pray. And it's a beautiful prayer. And then, verse 29, in the prayer they say, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by thy name, by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And look, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know, if the Spirit is to be in us like rivers of water, you know, sometimes people will say, I haven't witnessed, and I get a little bit of afraid and kind of a, you know, don't know what to say. I'll tell you something. Get filled with the Spirit of God like they did. Open the spigot. Let it go. Serious. That's what he will do. That's what he did for them. These are people that traveled, some of them, with Jesus for 3.5 years in the ministry. They were trained. They knew how to do it. They knew where to go. They knew what to say. And they humbled themselves before the Lord and said, we need boldness. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And when he did, they spake the word of God with boldness. And there was consequence. Look at verse 32. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. So they're throwing everything in their common. And then all of a sudden, man, they are preaching, things are going on, and people are getting saved, and God's doing a work. And the Bible, verse in chapter 5, verses 41 and 42 is an example. Acts chapter 5, verse 41 and 42, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name daily in the temple and in every house. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were on fire. They were on fire. And you know what that was? It was just the work of the Spirit of God. God's Spirit in them did something. And you know what? Didn't cost them a dime. Free. No charge. Whew. Beautiful. So the Holy Spirit is essential, just like water is. Cleansing, just like water is. Satisfying, just like water is. Free, just like water is supposed to be. And water, unless you're in the middle of the Sahara, is everywhere. It's everywhere. You see water. All right, since the Holy Spirit is God, he's omnipresent, and water is available to men, you know, all over the earth. That is, wherever you got men, you know you got some water, because you ain't going to make it without water. The Holy Spirit, so the point is, the Holy Spirit is even available in closed countries of the world. There are places that do not have the gospel witness that we have here. Not to this degree. Not to this degree. And yet, I have heard testimonies, perhaps you have as well, of people in an area you would have never thought there was a Christian like you are. And the Holy Spirit has gotten there with a witness, and people through his witness have gotten saved. You know what we need to be? We need to be conscious, and we need to be prayerful about where he is working, where he wants us to help his men who are working there. And we need to realize he's working in us, and we need to be sensitive to where he's sending us, what he wants us to do when we get there. Right? You know, when we were kids, our neighborhood in Victoria did not have curbs and gutters. We had the road. It was a new subdivision back in the day when my parents built the house in the 50s, and there were ditches on both sides of the road to drain off the water after a rain. Well, we used to love it when the rain would come, because we'd get in those ditches and we'd splash around, play, carry on. You know, it's no wonder, I mean, it's a wonder we didn't get you know, the bubonic plague as much as we played in those ditches. But you know what was fun? What was fun was to get 2x4s of various sizes of scrap material on one of those houses that was being built and kind of make a boat, right? And you put it in that ditch and then wash it go wherever that water was running. Watch it go wherever that water was running. Do you understand the Holy Spirit is flowing out of you as rivers of living water? If you get in that river, it's going to take you somewhere. It's going to take you somewhere. We used to have a sandbox. Maybe one of y'all had one of these. It was a turtle. And remember those sandboxes? And it had a lid on that. The lid was the turtle's back, and you lift that, and the sand was inside. That lid was on there, obviously, because there were probably cats in the neighborhood. You take the lid off and play in the sandbox, put the lid back on, and then the sand doesn't get contaminated, right? Well, we had one that didn't have sand in it, and some of the kids, when we were in school, we had a Spring Creek was behind our house, and Spring Creek would flow whenever it rained, for rain runoff. And we found this out later that they tried to kill one of our kids. Not accident. I mean, they were trying to have fun is what they were trying to do. But they put Skeeter in the turtle at the top of that river and washed her down to the culvert and found her down there, thank God, still sitting in the turtle. Okay, you know what happens when you get in that river? It's going to take you where it's going. The point is that when that Holy Spirit is in you and he's out of your belly is flowing rivers of living water, if you get, so to speak, in the river, you are going to be where the Holy Spirit wants you to be, and you will be able to say what the Holy Spirit wants you to say when you get there. And that's a good stream to be in. Ori and I were talking the other day about just some people here that they're witnessing to and people over there that they're witnessing to. And he said it's an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit will direct you to who he wants you to speak to, and he'll direct you in what he wants you to say so that you don't say less than you should and you don't say more than you should, but you just say what he wants you to say. You know what? I want to be in a river like that. Don't you? What a great place to be. And you know something? If we're not conscious of that work the Spirit of God is doing in our lives, if we're not yielded to that work the Spirit of God is trying to do in our lives, if we're not filled with the Spirit of God like that, that work isn't going to happen. And I only say that to say this, if your heart is stirred about doing something for the Lord, telling somebody about the Lord, consider this, is it possible that you have neglected, overlooked, not responded to or yielded to what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in your life? Because if you're aware of what he's doing and seeking to let him cleanse you and quench your thirst for righteousness and fill you, it won't be hard to do what he wants you to do. You'll be in the stream. And you'll be going downstream. And you'll be going where he wants you to go. And you'll be very, very, very happy with what he's doing in your life. More so than anything else you've ever experienced. You know, it's sad that Pentecostals and Charismatics have cheapened this experience of the Holy Spirit to some slain, knocked down thing. Or some throw your eyes back and raise your hands up, get kind of giddy and go home after the concert, and that's all it is. Well, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's work is far greater than that, far more powerful than that, far more satisfying, far more lasting than that. But you got to get with him. You understand? He's in you, but let him have all of it. Let him possess every nook and cranny. Fill, clean, satisfy every desire, and let him run, and let him speak through you. You'll be amazed at what the Spirit of God can do. Father, thank you tonight for being able to see in the Scripture some things about your Holy Spirit that we can easily understand, because your Holy Spirit is like water, and we certainly understand water. We drink it, we clean by it. And we got some in us right now, and we're thankful, Father. Please help us to remember some things that we've heard here tonight, to yield to your Holy Spirit, to let you have your way with us and do the things you want to do in us. And we pray, Father, that very satisfying joy that comes like a good drink of water when your Holy Spirit's able to do this. And we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.